and I work in finance, but my main interests are in music and writing and all types of shenanigans, whatever I can get into. I'm going to start to my right so that you could all introduce yourselves.
I'm Daryl. My interests are I love God. There you go. We can start there. Like I'm doing an acceptance award speech. I'm a pop culture maniac. I like it. I love it. I study it, but I don't really buy it, but I manage to consume it. A technologist, even though I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of people who definitely look like they might trump me on the techie piece. And I have an opinion on something. And some people say a little bit of everything. So that's me, and you'll discover more as the season moves along. And I'm going to go by Daryl, or DMJ Basic is my handle. So I might go by that. I like that. DMJ Basic. Yeah. All right. I'm through talking.
All right. It's my turn. This is Raphael at Next by Raphael. I'm a filmmaker, film teacher, film company owner. I don't know. I mean, that's the essentials of, you know, what my world revolves around right now. So that's that.
That was concise. Hello. I am Asia Dolores, a vocalist for Room 11 Band Chicago, and Allegra Dolores, singer-songwriter for Cop Kids Music. During the day, I create 21st century curriculum for digital media. I am a Pisces. I like long walks on the beach, and I like to travel.
Hi, I'm Michelle. My username on all social networks is Shells is Winning. I'm in marketing and social media for my profession, and my interests are actually marketing and social media and shopping and boys and Jameson and anything that Apple makes. Those things make me happy, and I like shoes too. And I'm just happy to be here.
My name is Kevin, or people call me KB. My Twitter handle is KevClassic. I'm a network engineer, and my interests are anything from God to titties.
Anything from God to titties.
Wow. Well, God made them, so I guess, you know, that's a starting point.
That is hilarious.
Wow.
And so now you've entered the newest season of The Lounge. A lot has happened since we last all met together. We have a couple of new cast members who are here today. So let's do a quick year in review, because these cover some of the topics that we will cover throughout the year. I'm sure some recurring themes will happen. So one is the Trayvon Martin verdict and all that good stuff. We had Jay-Z and Kanye drop their own solo albums. We had Miley Cyrus Somewhere in America. Twerk, Miley, twerk.
Right now.
What else is somewhere? Miley is probably twerking. It's kind of late in the day, too.
She's working for that Juicy J scholarship.
Man, yeah. That's another topic we need to cover. The Juicy J scholarship. That's beyond me. Anything else going on? Any big pop culture? Anything? I can't really think of anything.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Syrian civil war, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm.
And can we love our president and disagree with his policies?
Yes, of course we can. We can discuss that soon, too. We should put that down on the list somewhere. Let's see. We can go with the continuous blatant disrespect of the president. Let's see.
The Butler.
Oh, movies. The Butler, the Fruitvale Station movie.
Terrible blockbuster summer.
Terrible
summer for blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips is really good.
I don't know what movie. Oh, yes, I do. Is that the one about the Somalian pirate takeover? Okay, we'll think of some more stuff as it goes along. So I wanted to start with Trayvon Martin. We're a few months out the gate for that verdict being read. And I wanted to know, how did you guys feel about the verdict? Has your feelings changed since then to now, or?
So, this is Michelle. So, emotionally, I wanted Zimmerman to be found guilty. But legally, I understand why they found him not guilty. I looked up the definition of manslaughter in first degree and third degree, like all the degrees, to figure out what could they have charged him with. And given the choices that they had, this is not popular opinion, but I think that it made sense that they couldn't find him guilty given the evidence. So I don't like it, but I get it.
I think it's extremely interesting that now his wife is coming out like, he's threatening me with a gun, and he's gun crazy. I knew he was going to get off when he was able to accept funds from donations while he was in jail. I was like, oh, it's going to ride. Because that's the story America likes to tell, unfortunately.
And I know recently, I don't know if it's fully true or not, but they're saying that one of the doctors who examined the body is now coming out saying that the evidence was a bit different, that the bullet, where the bullet entered actually wouldn't have entered from the front, it had to have entered from the back. And if that comes to light, and that is true, it's going to be a really, really terrible situation if he really was shot in the back the whole time.
Mm. I think one of the medical examiners that was involved in that case, I don't know how many medical examiners were involved in that case, but one of them like recently got fired.
Right.
And they wouldn't even disclose why they got fired. They just said that they got fired. I wonder if it's the same one who's now saying that the bullet, you know, had to be fired from behind.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My feelings on it were, I think I agree with Shell's in that I looked up, the definitions of stuff and kind of said, I can understand why they were not able to find him guilty. What I was kind of blown by is I felt like the prosecution didn't really do as adequate a job as they could have done. And then I also felt like to say that the concrete is a weapon, to be able to use that as a defense against why he should be, or why Trayvon Martin should be, thank you, that was so kind, why Trayvon Martin should be murdered because he just happened to be by some cement and with a strange man following him, that just seems a little much for me. We have a new cast member here today. His name is Rob. He's going to say what's up.
Hi, everybody.
And he's going to tell us a couple of his interests.
Besides ripping my jeans up.
Besides ripped jeans and button down shirts.
And scar.
He's the Carl Thomas.
Taking care of that baby. That's my biggest interest. My 2-year-old daughter, managing Sir and Madam in Ukrainian Village, and trying to sleep when I can.
I feel that. Cooking them greens up in the meantime.
You know it.
And another thing was, much like the Dominique, the gymnast Dominique, where we had the big issues with her hair, the black community did. And then you had Rachel Chantel coming on, and there was a big hubbub about her. What did you guys think about that? I'm sorry, I cut you off earlier.
Before we jump into that, because I think all of that was a sideshow. Because I think the trial was really an attack on black manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvon was on trial without a voice for being black and male in America. People tried to compare it to the OJ case, and what irritated me is that whether we believe OJ is guilty or not, we don't know. We know Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin. That was never a question. He shot him. We know Trayvon Martin did not have any identifiable weapon. And we know Zimmerman was told not to follow him. So, I understand the legal reasons the jury did what they did. The problem was that if he was a white male, would the situation had happened? If he was a black female, would the situation had happened? If he was a white female, would the situation had happened? If he was a Latino female, would the situation had happened? His true crime seemed to be being black and being male in that place. And I don't want us to lose the fact that while we might have a post-Obama America, it is still criminal in many people's minds to be black and male in America. And the guilty verdict just, like, in my mind, it was like, yeah, we're still in America and it's still a crime to be black and male certain places. And that's what really bothered me. Now, we can move on to the young lady who I thought liked the sister's hair. Was one of those side shows that go where you go with it. But, yeah.
Okay. So, sorry. What do you guys think about the Rachel Chantel issue?
I feel personally the prosecution put her out there and let her hang. Like, they clearly interviewed her beforehand and they knew this was going to be... The defense already knew. Their job is to go ahead and take away the credibility for anybody that the prosecution brings up. And not to say, because I know it's a big thing surrounding about how she speaks and, you know, it was... definitely put out there like she's uneducated. They knew that going in. And then your job is, at the end of the day, I don't think her testimony, whether she was more articulate than she could have been very articulate, I don't think she provided any help to the situation, period, at all. I felt it was a sympathy move by the prosecution, and it backfired. And then eventually, I kind of think like it made the jury sit there, and she didn't help at all. She could have been sitting up there speaking with two PhDs. The same story that she gave almost reinforced what the defense was saying. We don't really know what's happening. And once you do that, that's reasonable doubt. And that's it.
Yeah, I definitely think it seemed like, I think I read somewhere that the defense was saying, well, we wanted her to still be able to have her fresh perspective and not sound like she had been rehearsing it too much. But then that kind of backfires on you if she's not prepared for the questions they're asking her, if she's not prepared with what she's going to say. That ends up being problematic and not being able to enforce your position that, you know, A happened that led to B and then B led to C, if she can't articulate that well or if she's contradicting herself.
In 2001, this gives me my edge, I like to bring it up a lot. In 2001, I was on trial for aggravated assault and battery. I'm a Chicago police officer, which is a felony. And what saved our case was me, my ability to speak the way that I speak. Both of my parents are educated. My father is a Chicago Police Department officer, and you know what I mean? But the people I was with were from the West Side. Their parents were what they were, I don't know. But had it not been for me, being able to take the coaching that I got from our attorney, we all would have went to jail. I would have had a felony offense, I would have been able to have a good job, all of this. So absolutely it's about priming and prepping because it is a show. And whoever puts on the best show, that's who's gonna get the story told. Nobody cares about nothing.
I think they purposely didn't want, like Chaz was saying, like they didn't want to prep her because they didn't want to make it seem. Even if you, and I hate to say this for the young lady because it's, I don't want it to be viewed as bad. Even if you had a prepter, once she got caught up in questions from the defense, she still would have came back to her original self. You know what I'm saying? She was prepared for probably what she thought was going to happen, but they already had a line of questions. They knew we're going to go ahead, knock her off this thing, and she just wasn't prepared. So if you're the prosecution, you don't put her on the stand.
Right.
Especially if she can't say definitively that is going to help your case. And basically she just sat there and it was an emotional plea that I really felt was a bad call.
I have a question for anyone who wants to answer. How could the Martin family have won the case? I mean, of course, the obvious is different lawyers, but how could they have won it?
I don't think they could have personally. As the trial went on, I just didn't think they... If you take away the emotional, which is hard, if you take away, as Daryl said, if you take away being black and being a crime, when it came down to evidence, I just didn't see a way for them to win.
But even though they told him not to follow Trayvon, that's a suggestion. You know what I'm saying? That's not like the law. It's not like, you know, it's against law for you to follow someone. It's only a suggestion. And
so that, I mean, am I the only one that, like, that's terrifying?
Oh, no, it's terrifying.
No, it's like, wait, there's no way you could have won?
No, it's terrifying.
And a lot of people believe that. There's no way.
And that's why I feel like a lot of, I mean, the outrage is justifiable because it is terrifying. Like, if you look at the case, when you sit there and say, this is a case that I just don't feel would have came out. Because my thing is, let's say he got manslaughter, people still would be outraged. I mean, unless he was almost sentenced to death, like in front of everybody on BET, then the black community would have still like felt like it's not enough. Because this is just, it's not Trayvon Martin is really just a reflection on how the black community feels. So, you know, and now it's going to be, and that's the one thing I hated about the whole situation is, 1 week later, it was, you know, that first week it was all remember Trayvon, and now it's to the wayside.
Yeah,
now,
I was about to say, what do you guys think has changed between then and now? And I'm trying to think, like, just this morning or during the weekend, I can't really say when specifically, but a young man named Jonathan Farrell was killed in North Carolina, I think. He was a 24-year-old FAMU. I don't know if he's a former student or a current student, but he played football for them. And he apparently, it seems like there was a case where the cops got a 911 call for a home invasion where some woman was at home and somebody came up to her door and they assume it was him. But what they also say was he had just had a bad car accident and he was trying to get help. So when he approached the police, and of course they used aggressive wording in their reports, like he charged the police or he attacked the police, and one of the police officers ended up shooting him and killing him. And mind you, the police officers are suspended, but, and the one officer who fired the shots is getting a felony of manslaughter, I think, but still, it seems to be, yeah, it seems to be more of those cases of just being a black male and being viewed as threatening, which I'm going to use to segue into our next question was, how do you guys feel about Trayvon being portrayed as a menace or a thug versus when someone, say Miley Cyrus with her ratchet persona, or Justin Bieber with his, I don't even know what to call what he's doing, but
confused,
his, you know, his thug life, whatever, where that seems to be okay for them because they're young and they're having fun and they're figuring out who they are, versus Trayvon being just, he must be a thug, he's a gangster, he smokes weed.
He's black.
He eats Skittles.
And he has a bottom gold grill.
I think that, and it is tough because, you know, we see race a lot. Excuse me, sorry about that. We see race a lot because of, you know, the situation. Two young white kids, one young black kid. I think it's more so about the money, you know. Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus, you know, they have this platform that fame and fortune can afford them, and it creates a veil of invincibility that I think transcends race. So I don't think that it's, oh, you know, they're finding themselves. I don't think that's the issue in terms of Trayvon's a thug or he's a good kid or just how he's portrayed. It's just that they have so much money behind them that they can do what they want and it will be looked at as something positive.
Okay, then what I would say, what about these suburban kids who, you know, now sag their pants or they wear their hats backwards or, you know, they embrace the black culture, which is cool, but they aren't about that life.
My most struggling piece about Trayvon being a thug is that Geraldo gave the most telling piece early on when he said, I have a brown son and I would have told him not to go outside with a hoodie because it would be dangerous for him. He was on Fox and he said that early on and everyone gave him a hard time. And actually, it was probably the most honest commentary I had heard from anyone, because at the core, what he was saying is that the crime was being a black or brown boy walking the street. The danger with whether or not he was a thug is moot. I want to know if he had a weapon, which is why the concrete piece was so important. I wanted Zimmerman to have to talk. So the earlier question was, how could they have won it? I almost felt like Zimmerman never had to explain what he did. To this day, I don't actually know or understand his logic. I was joking to someone, that's the interview I want Oprah to get. I would actually turn my cable back on if she got to sit down with Zimmerman. Literally, I would turn it back on and search out OWN because I want to see that. I want that man to explain what happened, which to this day, none of us know.
Yeah, we because don't even know what his voice sounds like.
Exactly. I want him to say what happened because two people know and one is dead. And so regardless, like when we say if he was a thug, I don't care if he had 10 grills and 20 tats. Did he deserve to get shot in cold blood with no weapon?
And this is why I sit there and say why they would never won, because one, he doesn't have to say anything. We want him to say something, but he doesn't. And to use what you said earlier, no one's asking really OJ to explain himself.
OJ wrote a book called How If I Did It. If I had done it, this is how I did it.
But my point is, but my point is, from the black community at the time when the verdict came out, none of us asked really OJ what's happening. We were just happy with the verdict. You know what I'm saying? And that was, a lot of us were just happy with the verdict. We're not really sitting there asking, tell us exactly what happened that night. Mm-hmm. Were you there? Whatever. We don't. We, even to this day, we don't.
But OJ took the stand, at least.
No, they but he didn't really. All he sat there and said is basically, when he took the stand, is, I don't really know what y'all talking about. These gloves don't fit me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
These gloves don't fit me.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we don't ask the same thing. Like I say, it's unfortunate. But if you look at it from a legal standpoint, he doesn't really owe the black community an explanation. And it's unfortunate and it's sad, but he doesn't. And that's the thing that you have to look at it cut and dry. His lawyers, he had, even if he had a public defender, he would never stood on a trial. He would have never been on the stand. Nobody's going to put him on the stand to do that. And we expect that because, like, we want answers. But legally, I saw it right then and there. I'm like, unless he said something or did something that contradicts this theory they're trying to prove, he's going to walk.
But can I at least hope that Oprah gets him? Oprah gets everybody else.
Why would he go to Oprah?
I mean, yeah.
But why would he go to Oprah? He has nothing. He has everything to lose and nothing to gain.
Yeah, he does make bad choices.
He gets broken up.
You know what? Actually, to go back to, I'm sorry, because I have another 2 cents to add, but to go back to the how could they have won that trial, I wish they had been able to bring up, how come nobody, I had no idea that his wife wasn't at home that night because they were having a fight. And that's why she wasn't at home when it all went down.
Why does that matter?
Because gun out on that heifer and that's why it matters. If people pull a gun out on his own.
But to me, that even could speak to his state of mind that evening.
Right.
You know, it could say he was not right in the head. He was mad at his wife. He was angry. He was aggressive. He was looking at somebody to take out some anger on. Or maybe he was just in a certain, you know, feeling some type of way, as black people like to say.
But what I'm sitting there saying, the problem is that even you bring that up, she would have testified and sat there and said that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So it would have been okay.
He couldn't have even made her
but
testify.
Then he had like previous offenses.
If the prosecution had brought up that, like the prosecutor brought up, he was already aggressive when he was out because of the situation doing his wife, guaranteed the defense would have put the wife on the stand saying, no, that's not it.
You can't force a spouse to testify against their spouse.
You can't enforce her. But if she volunteers, she's saving her husband. She can get on the stand if she wants
to. Well, she already perjured herself anyway. She's on like probation or something anyway.
I feel like at the end of the day, and people always, Avery calls me Afrocentric because I always go back to this, which I'm like, whatever, man. But at the end of the day, the Constitution and the laws were not made for black men specifically. So at the end of the day, no, it's a wrap. When you go put a young black male with the girl they put on trial, she was not American, right? She was an immigrant, or she was the child of an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So you coming in here black, not from here, and then you black and you from here, and you still not American, it's a wrap. We are the only people in the world that do not consider ourselves American. And if we, I put this out there to people, if we drop the African from American, does that make me a sellout? Or does that make me American and that means the law works for me? Hello.
How much money you got behind yourself after that?
What you mean?
Well, if you have enough money,
period.
But to go back to what your original thing was with you transitioning from Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber, and maybe I'm in the minority when it comes to this. I feel like, as Rob was sitting there saying, they have money. Let them do what they want to do. Bottom line, Miley Cyrus was manufactured to be a certain way character on TV. Like, when you look at the Britney Spears is a redneck from Tennessee. It's not shocking when she started doing redneck things when her popularity... You know what I'm saying? It's not shocking to me. Because at the end of the day, this is who she is. And then we, like, Miley Cyrus, did we expect her to be sweet all her life? You know what I'm saying? Justin Bieber, did we expect him to not do something? I get that. I think the outrage is because a lot of things they're doing, it's a reflection on the black community. So I definitely get that understanding. But for them acting up and wilding out,
why I don't think I it's a reflection on the black community.
Miley Cyrus doing that's a reflection? I'm confused, actually.
Well, I think twerking is actually really...
It's
definitely.
To me, there's a lot of cultural appropriation, okay?
Yeah.
I'm okay with, like, if my family is from the South, so there are certain redneck things that I catch myself doing, like, I'll say back air, which is back there in Southern slang. And, you know, like, I reckon something. And I don't say it when I'm, over yonder or britches, stuff like that. Like, there are country things you can say or you can do. And that's my culture because that's where my family is from. The problem I have is that there's a disconnect between the reasons why black people do these things and... why they're doing these things.
You feel like they're doing these things to promote them.
It's inauthentic.
As opposed to authentic twerking, I'm sorry, and I know I'm in a minority. I need black people not to defend everything that like culturally belongs to us. And I don't know if Miley twerking is the sole thing of appropriation that we're defending.
But it's not just her twerking. As I told my little sister,
if we could take that twerking and put it back in a strip club or wherever it came from and leave it there, I don't want to be assaulted with it by anybody unless I...
She's kind of glad she's doing it.
Right, like, I mean...
To me, it takes the attention off us doing it.
Right, like, exactly. That's the thing, like, who cares?
Are people really upset that she's ignorant? Or we're upset that she's ignorant doing things that we feel are attached to our culture? And it's really the latter. And so, let her do it.
Are we mad that she's taking twerking jobs from hard-working sisters who want to twerk?
I hope when I Google twerk, Miley Cyrus is right there.
Thank you.
not LaShonda, not an Onyx club in Dallas.
Like, okay, but then if we would strip away color from niggas and just appropriate niggas to be in that low-class American mentality that was brought over here because we criminals. Why did we come from Europe? Because we was criminals and we were sent over here to kill everybody, take over, kill gangster. If we take the color away and black people stop being so sensitive about their color, then we would just look at that as niggotry. Because I know niggas wherever I go, they don't matter what color they are, no matter what age they are, they look like niggas, they doing nigga things.
Are you saying Miley's a nigga?
Hell yeah, I'm a nigga.
I'm gonna leave the beer margarita alone.
I stop
promote them unless they paying us. Okay, we ain't get nobody for this. We ain't get nobody for this.
But if you buy us Bud Light. You hear that Bud Light? At Bud Light.
Right, somebody at them for real, because...
That might be it.
That being said, I think we can safely move on.
Wow. What you gonna add to that?
Miley Cyrus playing a twerk right now.
Give it to him.
So we were talking about musicians, and the question was submitted: what are your thoughts on artists that have made it cool to disguise laziness in their work for the next hot it thing, i.e., Kanye and crew? And I added the Miley Cyrus ratchet persona.
So explain that a little bit. Like,
I have no idea.
Being lazy and getting by with like mediocre work.
I'll tell you where it came from. y'all, that's my style. My name is Avery.
Hi, Avery. He's a Capricorn.
But, and yeah, I'm sure there are a ton of Pyrex followers or whatever. But my friend Sal, what I'm born Swift DJ. We go back and forth. This is the only type of hater conversation we have, whatever, is like he really dislikes the Pyrex thing. Whatever.
The brand.
Right. So he's like, it's like real lazy. It's like, because I'm cool, you know what I'm saying, with Kanye, whatever, I'm going to throw my name on something or whatever.
And leave the champion. Right.
And then also goes to Kanye, you know, like this last album. Like, he kind of just, you know, threw some lyrics on it. Like, it wasn't as much work, you can tell, put into it as other albums or whatever. And it's kind of like, goes back to that phrase, like, you know, I could have on a fucking Speedo.
I could stand here in a Speedo and look like a fucking hero. Right. I don't know how that really went.
So, but it's just like, you know, I can do whatever at this point because everybody, you know what I'm saying, likes me or whatever, and you're going to follow along with it.
So me and Michelle were actually sitting there because when we read the topic, we were like, so is laziness basically like where, like, you don't feel like artists push the creative envelope? It's like, I can just do what's a trendy thing right now. Mm-hmm. Is that what you basically
Or saying? I can do what I want and make it trendy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Okay, so that's what we were trying to figure out, like, what exactly was laziness. But, so, yeah, okay. All right, makes sense.
See, I, from what I read, for the record, I don't like the new Kanye. I don't like the new Jay-Z. I listened to it. I tried. It didn't do anything for me. I was bored. And then most of Kanye's everything, I was just kind of like, no, shut the fuck up. And I will say that I was like that simply because how you gonna have a song talking about materialism? And you the most motherfucking materialistic rapper I have heard or seen or whatever in a long time. How are you talking about We the New Slaves? You got a whole song.
You showed us the way.
Right. You the leader of the New Age. It's you sitting in front row talking about Mason, Martin, Margiela. That's all y'all. That's you and Jay-Z. Y'all are together doing your own little thing, talking about what brand you got and how many jets you're flying in and where you're going for vacation. My ass is sitting in my little cubicle from my 9 to 5 with my regular ass Marshall's clothes on.
Okay.
I'm chilling. I can't relate to that. And so for you to turn around and then tell me that I'm a new slave, because your ass tried to introduce me to some new things.
So you took it personally.
You sound mad.
Like, I need you to unchain yourself before you start trying to unchain me. That's really blue. And then you got a picture of Kim Kardashian with a grill on the cover of somebody's magazine. I ain't got time.
I don't think Kanye West is in touch with reality whatsoever. I think in his own head and his minions.
Mm-hmm.
Heads as well, they allow for him to do and say and project whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. This may be for him, it's like, oh, I'm going to do something a little bit different and everybody's going to love it because, you know, I'm an artist and everybody will use that as an excuse to explain or justify anything that I do. I mean, we've seen him go from one extreme to the other. Even recently, we've seen him go from one extreme to the other where he talked with a completely new dialect.
Oh, my God.
Man, like his voice was in a whole different range. It went from like, yeah, what up to...
key.
Yeah, so, Michael Jackson. You know, yeah.
See, I like all the complexity and all the crazy of Kanye. I think the new album just sucked. How about that? You talk about a lyric. I couldn't find a lyric. He had Daft Punk, crazy electronic stuff. I couldn't even find. Were there words on the album?
Definitely a lot of hypocrisy on that album. She was basically saying, like,
but
Kanye, to bring up his point, like, Kanye's kind of done this before. He did it on the late registration, like, Diamonds. Now, every song he raps, he's talking about how many diamonds he's had, but then he made a song, like, talking about the blood diamonds. So, like, it's always going to be hypocrisy in any, especially hip-hop, in any music. So, I'm not shocked. I guess that's the thing. I'm not shocked Kanye is so off the wall. I think, like what Raphael said, I just think he's lost touch of reality, or at least lost touch of what had him grounded before. Because if you look at the transition that he came from, an artist, he came from, like, I didn't have anything, I went out there and I hustled. I don't expect him to continue to talk about that, because he doesn't have to hustle anymore. But he's clearly now way, it's like he missed step 6, 7, and 8 and just like, I'm on 12.
Like, you know, and I'm
going to get away with it. And
y'all
going to
follow it. And it won't matter.
The one thing I respect about Jay, and I know what you were saying, Chaz, is this. And I always look at the lyric. He was like, truthfully, I wanted to rhyme like Common Sense. But I sold 5 million. I ain't been rhyming since Common Sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Jay, I don't think Jay even really comes across anymore like, I'm about to teach you something or whatever. I'm just gonna do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's it.
He told us to buy his old albums if that's what we want to hear. So.
Yeah, like, I don't even hold JD. I mean, when he came at Nas, he was like, you trying to kick knowledge? That pretty much told you, like, I'm past
that's
that.
Not just rapper. Like, yeah. That's not his shtick.
Yeah, his shtick is, I'll make music for fans. I make money.
But we're forcing them to be one-dimensional, though.
Yeah.
Like, don't they get to be? Like, can't Kanye... I like the fact that he's complex. Prior to, I don't want to talk about Yeezus yet, but like, let's go back to late registration. Why can't he talk about having a diamond piece and talk about blood diamonds? That lets me know that when he grabbed the diamond piece, he's not oblivious to the fact that the diamonds are blood diamonds.
No, but well, my thing is this. But as what she was sitting there saying, that if you come on later on saying, like, if you rock these diamonds or you do this, this, and this, you're a new slave, it does sound like you're being very hypocritical. Like, you put it out there that these things are things that blacks or people who rock diamonds, you know what I'm saying, should not want to do. But then you also come out and saying, I'm doing it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? Let me just say this. I listen to both of them all the time. My son is like, yeah, whenever Kanye and Jay-Z comes on. But I would say that they are, to me, the death of the conscious rapper, right? Because, like, you know, if you listen to some of the stuff that they say, like, they're actually, you know, speaking on some of the conscious subject matter. Whatever. It's like, even talking about the Miley Cyrus twerking. The reason why we're talking about it is because of Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? It's because of Somewhere America. The song Somewhere America is really saying that, you know, how can you be racist when you have this girl from middle white America, whatever, twerking, you know? So, I mean, she took the fact that he was making reference to her and she ran with it or whatever, but where that all came from is that, you know, he's bringing light to racism. You think about, like, religion, like, you think the songs like, you know, Heaven and No Church in the Wild or whatever, like, they really... He really talks about the difference between spirituality and religion or whatever, you know, and how at the end of the day, there is no church in the wild. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, I always say that church or religion is like,
about? Huh? That's what that song was about?
He's stretching it. We're going to let him go. But that's a push.
I just like
to
beat.
If you listen to what Jay is saying or whatever, like, he's really talking about the difference between those two or whatever, you know, between spirituality and religion. I mean, also if you look at his interviews that he did with Oprah's Masterclass, whatever, you know, he talks about that as well, you know. But and Heaven too, you know. Heaven is more, you know, right at you, whatever, you know. But
I mean, if he didn't contradict himself and he didn't make, like, if he didn't bite the hand that fed him, wouldn't care. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to create a persona of tension to keep people talking about his ass, right? I mean, he's bigger than any record he puts out. What KRS-One say? Image is respected. Records get bought and collected for a quarter at the thrift shop. I fucked that line up because it didn't rhyme. That's but still. You know what I'm saying? You get the point.
I think that on... And you use hypocrisy, but I think a better word for Kanye would be duality. especially on Diamonds Are Forever, because you know the original was about flossing. The remix was more about the message. Now, Yeezus era, Kanye, that's where the real hypocrisy is. Because regardless of what he says on track 1 through 10, you're gonna call me a new slave, but then put out a $120 T-shirt.
Yep.
That's what real hypocrisy.
It was a plain white tee.
Said it a lot better than I did.
I think it's. I don't agree. You all seem to want him to practice what he preaches, but he's not preaching. He's making music for entertainment. Like the lyrics or don't, or the beats or don't. Like, I don't care if his life contradicts his message and his music, because I just want the 808 to bump, right? Like, straight up, like, I just, that's all I care about. And that's cool to be different opinion, but I just think, like, why are y'all tripping? A lot of people say one thing or sing one thing and do another. Why does it matter?
I don't think so much, because you are a very smart person, which is great. But a lot of people who actually do follow, you know, like, I'll look, don't do this to me. But I think the biggest thing is, and me personally, you know, I can hop in a debate, but I like a few tracks in Yeezus, you know, especially the ones that contradict each other. I don't mind, but I'm conscious enough to not, like, follow Kanye blindly, which I think is a problem that a lot of people have. It's like, okay, Kanye's doing this. I mean, adults. You know what I'm saying? Kanye's doing this. Let me do this.
Kanye's 10. You know what I'm saying? It probably brings up the question, do we expect artists to live or act the lifestyle?
Which we covered last season.
We covered what we always get back to.
But I thought the question was the laziness. So when I first read that, I'm like, oh, Nicki Minaj. Right. Because as a performing artist, when I step my foot on stage, bitch, I'm going to work. Beyonce, when she step her foot on stage, bitch, she works.
She be popping and dropping it.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Kanye steps on stage and he's like, this, I am Michael Jackson. I'm going to put it all in. So in that, I'm like, oh, you say whatever you want, boo-boo. If I'm going to pay $150, you better give me, I'm going to sweat.
You better work.
Marvin Gaye, bitch. Yes. So I'm like, okay, you know, record, do whatever. But if I'm paying to come see you, I want to see a show, Nicki. Don't get up there in those 17-inch stilettos and Tukey around the stage. Because I want to see you work. And that's what I'm, that's what
like,
I'm
like. Let me ask you this. When you saw Lupe or whatever, did you feel like he worked?
Oh, sorry. I felt like he part of the crowd, right? I felt like it was more of a sigh with a low tone. It was painful because I know what he was. I know where he was going, but Chicago. I'm not gonna claim all Chicago and blanket y'all with a statement.
Just do it.
Asia feels like. Just because you put two jumbotrons up and you have like sparkles fly out and you've got a rock, you know, a guitar rocker and a chick on stage and then you do 27 changes of your clothes, that's. Yeah, okay, he worked. He did what he wants to. He put in a show. He put on a show, yes. Yes, is my answer. Yes, honey, it was sparkles and confetti. I was like, well, thank you. You changed clothes like four times. He was barely out when he changed clothes on that.
Yeah.
And his mini personality.
Yeah, and that was the low, that was a pain. That wasn't sexy. That wasn't, it was
sexy though.
Here's a good, before we move on and transition, like, is it Kanye really just a kind of a hot target? Because if you look at it throughout,
he's easy.
If you look at throughout of it, it's been a lot of rappers who've done pretty much the same exact. One of my favorite artists is Lazy. You know what I'm saying? Performing wise, Nas.
Nas is fine.
If you look at Nas's catalog, it's. A lot of contradictory statements. Mm-hmm. It's got a, like different, like, and it could be him just growing as an artist, or it could be him just catching whatever fad was on at that time.
Mm-hmm. He did Uchi Wally.
I didn't even know Wally.
Uchi Wally was really bad.
Uchi
Wally
was that.
Yeah,
you owe me
some.
You owe me
some. But for Nas to have. co-signed it and been on it.
No,
it
you owe me was to me horrible.
You owe me was probably the worst.
You owe me. I mean, but is it? I
owe me back like you owe your time. Yeah.
Princess is 175 years old. And Princess put out 50 million albums. And I'll tell you, 70 million of Princess. It's a lot of bad shit right, on Stevie. Yeah. It's a lot of bad shit on Michael. Blood on the dance floor hurt my feelings, Michael. But, you know, you gotta...
Jesus was... See, this is what frustrates me about it. I think it was a really bad album, and we tried to really load all this other stuff on it as opposed to saying it was a bad album. Yeah. Lazy... I think Magna Carta was lazy, but I think it was good because Lazy J is better than most of what you have out here.
But I think that we liked... I put like in air quotes. I think we liked Magna Carta better because it came after Yeezus.
You're probably right.
Okay? Because if that one came out Yeezus first...
Ooh.
I'm dead serious.
Wait, what?
You hear that silence on
the side? You hear my cake ball? You hear
that silence? The room stopped and looked at Ryan.
Personally, what did you say? I like Yeezus better than Magna Carta.
Okay. So
you know what I like to ask intelligent people, because when you get intelligent people together, we can have these air talks. This, you know. Let me ask you this, and. Was Aaliyah dope? Because she was. Hey, it's just like Idlewild. It's just like Idlewild. Was Idlewild dope, or did we just miss Outkast so much? Some of the shit Andre puts out, I'm like, what are you doing? But I miss you so much, Andre. I listen to whatever you say. So I mean, at that point, if it's really bad music, I gotta listen to Miley Cyrus. Oh, Jesus, I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna suck it up. Thank you, Lord, because it's nothing else. Adele. Do we love Adele because she can sing, or is she the only bitch out there singing right now? You know what I mean? So what is it? What is it? The market is saturated with some terrible thing. Was she cold because she was 14? Or was she cold because she was... Was she cold?
I think if she was still alive, she would have been giving me... I think if Aaliyah was still alive, Sierra couldn't have been...
Oh, hell no.
Did Sierra make it? No, I'm joking. I'm sorry.
Sorry, CJ. I like your body party song, though.
I mean, but here's the thing: is I don't hold Sierra to a high standard right now. She's doing exactly what I expected.
That's an entirely jacked up thing to say by itself. I don't hold you to a high. Okay, wait. We're gonna move to the next topic because we're talking about artists. We're talking about their confidence, their hypocrisy, and in tune with that goes their arrogance. So, is their arrogance something, and this goes for athletes and what fighters? Mm-hmm. Does that attract you as fans or repel you?
I like it
personally. I definitely agree.
You know, I want my athletes, I want my artists, I want my people to feel like they're the best. Now, if they feel like telling me the best, they may or may not want to keep it to themselves, but you want to feel that way. And when they're feeling that way, if sometimes it spills out to the public, I'll take it.
Is there nobody that you can think of that you just go, no?
Terrell.
But know what?
Just know.
There's some people who I don't want to be their friend because I think they're dicks. Like Kobe Bryant.
I think it's
Kelly Price.
It's a thing. Oh, Ryan, God, really? But to me, it's a
Kelly
thing.
Price.
I'm like, Kelly Price. I don't watch the R&B
either. She's a jerk. Yeah, I was like, this bitch.
Well, you know, I've never seen the show.
Girl,
so.
That's why
she's hungry. Okay, so wait. I would say you're saying people who are arrogant or confident or cocky.
See,
or,
arrogant like, was the word that was used in the question. I would say Floyd Mayweather. He's arrogant.
I mean, the industry he's in, he's got to be the most.
And I agree with you there. So. Who would we say is confident versus arrogant? I would say Jay-Z is confident. But he doesn't come across as arrogant, in my opinion.
To me,
and that's kind of relative.
Mm-hmm. No, I think he's kind obviously. Of arrogant.
I think
he's arrogant.
I would say Kanye was arrogant.
Yes.
I would say
Kanye is arrogant.
Kanye is arrogant.
The way Kanye lashes out, like when he's getting in trouble, like with the media. Well,
he talks about himself.
I don't think it's
like,
even the way
I
that he.
Like Jay-Z took a picture drinking Remy out of his Grammy. Like that's arrogant to me. Like.
About the hat on the wall and his little baby girl leaning on it because it belongs to her. Like, that's arrogant to me.
I,
Really, that's not? What is that?
On a whole, though, does Jay-Z come off to you as arrogant, or does he just have arrogant moments?
I think Jay-Z is not very, outside him rapping, but here's the thing is, outside Jay-Z rapping, he don't give a lot of statements to the media. He doesn't do a lot of things when we give him an opportunity to be arrogant. Most of the time...
No, I don't think he gives us the opportunity.
If Jay-Z is arrogant, then Kanye's just a diva.
He has to be
something more than just arrogant, because they are not on the same...
I feel like Jay-Z Jay-Z doesn't seek attention like the way Kanye does. So like that's what I'm saying. Like Kanye wants to show everybody he's arrogant. He definitely does.
Jay-Z's emotionally unstable though too.
Yeah, Jay-Z's just to me arrogant. He's quick to tell you, look, I'm doing this. Everything he actually raps about, he's telling you about how arrogant he is. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just that he doesn't come out and say, I'm gonna actively do a press conference right now and say, let me tell you what I just bought.
And I think that's the difference between being confident and arrogant.
Okay, yeah.
See, now for me it's gonna go all the way back to Trayvon Martin. I think there's an attack on black manhood. And for me, so I like black athletes, musicians, actors to be unapologetic to a certain point, because I think we're expected. I don't pay attention to Tiger Woods at all, and I was mad when he apologized after his blow up with his wife, because I didn't feel he owed America an apology. That was a grown man whose wife took half of his fortune when she divorced him. He didn't owe anybody else anything for that. I was offended that America insisted this man get in front of them and apologize.
I'd like to point out Tiger Woods had to apologize. George Zimmerman did not.
Right, exactly. What I'm saying is that I have a problem with that. So the truth is, I like Kanye's arrogance. I like Ordivanus, and I like Jay-Z's arrogance, and I like, you know, Mayweather's arrogance, and I like Tyson's arrogance and Kobe's arrogance, and I like LeBron's arrogance, and they've all misstepped, and they've all done things I dislike. But at the end of the day, I am very disturbed by the fact that black men, for some reason, are not only told that they can't walk in this sort of pride of who or what they are, but then when they misstep, they're told you need to now somehow submit yourself publicly. They don't even get to privately do it. So, you know, dude with the dog fight.
Michael Vick.
He couldn't just do... That was stupid.
Couldn't just go to jail.
He couldn't just go to jail. Now he has to somehow prove himself worthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like American. Be as arrogant as you want to be until the playing field is level, and until we tell Miley she has to submit, and Madonna she has to submit, and Zimmerman he has to... Until it's universal, and we say everybody has to check their arrogance, Kanye can be... Now, that I will give him leeway on. He can be as arrogant and as crazy as he wants. And if Kim is dumb enough to put that grill in and let that picture be taken, go for it. Then put it on the cover of the magazine. I'm not mad.
Well, out of curiosity, can any of you think of any, like, white fighters, rappers, athletes that are deemed as being arrogant to the same extent that Jay-Z, Kanye, 50 Cent...
What about...
And forced to apologize for it as if it's a bad thing.
It's been a long time.
What about, like... A-Rod or whatever. I mean, he's not white or whatever.
He's not white.
You know, he's kind of arrogant with this whole steroids thing. Right, you know what I'm saying? He's like, okay. You know, I mean, that's the mentality he has or whatever. Like, you know, I don't have to talk to you all or whatever.
Oh, go back. Dude, the biker.
Oh yeah.
He was not only arrogant, he was belligerent, and only once it was straight up proven, and he did talk to Oprah, but nobody understands. He realized he had to.
Right.
He talked to Oprah, which is why I'm hoping I hope for Zimmerman talking to Oprah. He talked to Oprah, but he was arrogant with it and unapologetic, and no one seemed to make him apologize.
But that's why I'm saying, I think like a lot of times, a lot of these people are arrogant. It's just that they don't show themselves. One of the most arrogant people that I've ever met, and then you hear about, but his public image is totally different, is Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But he's beloved by everybody. But you want to talk about somebody who is probably the most arrogant person you can ever meet? It's him. So it's just his people or him decided, we're not going to put you in situations to show this asshole side of you.
Except for Kanye, the Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah. And that was the prime example. He was unfiltered. And that was him being Mike. And everybody sat there and said, it was a lot of people scratched their heads like, I never saw this side of Mike. Then you don't know Mike. You know what I'm saying? So it's like so I think for a lot of people, like I said, different with Kanye or Jay, whatever. I think Kanye actively wants to put his face in situations where he has to show his arrogance. But I still feel like the rest of them are just as arrogant. They just choose not to go ahead and broadcast it publicly. And they put themselves, or their people, put themselves in situations where they don't have to. That's it.
So is arrogance a black man's way to project some sort of authority in a place where you should not have it? Where, you know, now you're uppity, where if there's a counter, whatever color, it wouldn't be seen as arrogant. It'll be like, oh yeah, they are on the right to speak out that way.
I always feel that way about just about everything that can be attributed to somebody's character. Like, if you're a black woman and you're aggressive or forceful, then you're a bitch. But if you were a white male doing the same thing, you would just be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, right. Yeah, it wouldn't, there would be no discussion, there would be no debate. I mean, I guess that goes for black and white women. If you're being aggressive or if you're being a leader, then you're viewed as a bitch. So, for us to say, you know, that black male arrogance, if by a white male, it would not be viewed the same. It would just be what it is. It would just be, oh, he's confident.
He's a leader.
His swagger. He's got it going.
He's got that swagger.
Right. And it would be fine. Nobody would question it.
Mm. Well,
that's kind of sad.
It's very sad.
It just made
speaking of cocky and bold, I thought somewhere this was going to lead into Kendrick Lamar for some reason. I love
Kendrick Lamar.
But I just love what happened. I'm glad
he did. I love what he did.
I think it was necessary. It was like a defibrillator.
I love what he did. I hate the fact that all 80 whack rappers out of Queens decided to respond.
It was totally irrelevant.
Like, so many people I thought was dead until they actually released diss tracks. I was in jail, my son. Like, that was a thing. And I knew that was going to happen because it was a gateway. I was glad what he did. And I was just like, look, he told the truth.
I say, what did Kendrick Lamar do?
Kendrick Lamar was on a remix to a song, and he basically, I mean, he called people out, but it was in a really indirect way. He was just saying, like, outside of these artists, outside of these rappers, you know, the kind of Kings, the Jay-Z's or whatever, Nas's, ain't nobody really fucking with me. And that includes you, my homeboy, you, my other homeboy,
I'm trying to make your fans forget you exist.
I'm trying to be better than y'all.
Yeah.
Well.
it doesn't matter because this game is
good. And he called out their name. It was like 16.
I think that they all got it. It was all these other non-factors that got butthurt and wanted to make responses.
Wait, did he say Meek Mill's in the thing? Because Meek Mill did a response.
Maybe.
Was it loud?
I don't know if he did either, but
Meek Mill is some people just needed to do a response, I'm sure, because they needed to be heard.
Didn't Peppers do a response?
Right.
The
nigga
responds.
You know?
Well, it was a lot of, like, the people he nailed, like, the people he targeted. To me, it was a compliment because if you're bringing up my name, then you know that we're in competition with one another. Exactly. Like, I wouldn't even been offended at all. Like, we're in competition. I want to be better than you.
The people we didn't name took offense.
Like, I wanted.
That was very funny on Twitter. The people that he didn't.
He named J. Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mill, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, Jay Electronica, Tyler the Creator, and Mac Miller. Mm-hmm. So those are all current hot rappers.
Right, so if those are the people he named, then to your point, I agree with you. I would have been offended if he didn't name me because he didn't name you.
You don't think I'm down to
you're forgettable.
Right.
You're non-mentionable.
You don't think I'm down to
play? You're a non-factor.
Right, you're a non-factor.
That's That's very true. So, we're getting short on time. Do you guys just want to skip to cuffing season?
I guess what's the good
explanation for cuffing season? What would you say cuffing season is? I'm gonna point at you, Shells, because you're the official.
Okay, but I just want to say, I think the term cuffing season is the funniest, best shit ever.
Why?
Because I like thinking people. They do it for me. So, you know, cuffing is, okay, so this is my interpretation of where the term came from. Anybody here? So, I think cuffing is like the, I'm making a physical motion and nobody can see. But like just snatching somebody up.
Handcuff.
I also think it's a, pardon me?
Handcuff.
Oh, thanks. I hadn't looked at it like that because I had also taken the F bomb and kind of turned it around and dropped the K. Cuffing season is the period of time between Labor Day and early spring.
Early spring? That's a long time.
In my personal calendar, cuffing season ends on Easter, but whatever. And you can Google this and look up the images, but cuffing season is that time where, you know, it gets cold outside and people want to get booed up and they want to snatch somebody.
Yeah, you want to snuggle.
Somebody up. Yeah, we should create a mascot.
We have to discuss this off air.
Right.
Okay, so let's start with, is cuffing season a real thing?
Clearly.
I think it is.
You know what?
And they just put a name on it.
Is it newly created, or is it something we've been doing for years? It's just like, this is what we gonna call
it. Might be some people who are in seasonal weather type places, because when it gets cold, you don't want to go out.
I think from a man, and again, female probably, I mean, I'm just speaking from a man's perspective, I think some women definitely get a little bit more aggressive in that October month.
Yeah, especially like, in the Midwest.
Yeah, especially it's a little bit more aggressive in terms of...
It's getting cold.
Like, yeah, you can't go out. Like, in the summer, you can go out, you can mingle, you can see a bunch of people, meet a bunch of people, even if you don't do anything. But ain't nobody doing anything at Sawtooth in October. So, no disrespect. Nah. Like, no sense. Right now. Like, there's no day party when it's 30 degrees. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, I definitely feel like women get, but I'm sure women feel like men might get more aggressive. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I definitely feel like as it gets, especially around that holiday season, and, you know, then you got the Valentine's Day, you know, it's February.
Arguably, there are two seasons a year. Choosing season and cuffing season.
What is choosing season?
We forgot choosing season. Well, by Kel's rules, it would be after Easter.
Correct. Oh, so it's like cuffing season starts when you put your white pants back on.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's Memorial Day.
Well, thereabouts.
Easter is the white pants season.
The resurrection, honey.
That's right. Wait, the resurrection on white pants.
Can we not be saying words and somehow connect? You go from this God to coffee?
Resurrection.
Jesus wanted rest.
Pardon me.
and this is my thing, because I always am confused about what exactly the purpose of cuffing season is, because to me, like, when you look at the cuffing season calendars, it's like the first 3 or 4 weeks are supposed to be like you choosing somebody and narrowing it down. My theory is I've been doing that all summer and narrowing it down, so that by the time cuffing season starts, we don't have to go through the precursor of, you know, calling and texting. I've already chose up.
So cupping season, that's when you're making your final cuts.
It's the American Idol auditions. It was like, you know, it was 500 people at every city, but then we still have the premiere show where they still do more cutdowns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's so the cupping season is like the top 10.
Yes. And you spend your time texting and recording and sending good morning texts.
And when you end it is when you pick the winner.
Well,
and you carry that through to Easter?
Well, that's
nerves.
Okay.
Yes.
So, wait a minute. Okay.
And yeah, someone just asked a good question. Can you have more than one winner? I've never heard of this until right here, right now. So I'm very curious.
You can't have a public winner.
That's another thing. How real is cuffing season? Is cuffing season like, you just my boo? Or is this, you are my man?
It's your mind. I don't feel like going out Friday night. Do you want to order pizza?
I would be really insulted.
I sound
very flattering.
I'm not saying it should be.
Where are all these men? That's what I'm saying. Where are these men that I need to go find? Like, I'm going to get. Because I'm like, it's the same places with different faces in Chicago.
It's not even the different faces.
The unofficial cuffing season or whatever. It's like, you know, in the summertime, like, you guys, that one person, maybe one or two that you kind of talk to on a regular basis, but you ain't really kick it with them like that or whatever during summertime. Like, maybe you went out to the club or something together, you know. But when it gets cold outside, it's like,
something warm.
Yeah, when it's summertime, it's always something to do. It's hard to sit there and say a 90-degree or 80-degree night, summertime, I don't want to go out and do something with my friends. But when it's 20 degrees, you don't want to do anything. However, you still want company. You want to do something.
So my comfort food, they're comfort people?
There are comfort
people. They're just comfort
people.
It's
comfort people.
It's comfort people.
It's comfort
people.
I'm just trying to imagine, who is the person who ends up being told that they're your comfort person, and do you get rid of them?
You don't tell them.
Where do you meet?
Well, I guess that would bring us to our next conversation.
I'm offended for the person.
Which is, Wait. Okay, so we were saying, how do you tell somebody they're the comfort person? The question that was presented was, should a female in a new relationship situation question their partner, where is this all going, or should she go along with the flow? I first have a problem with this question because y'all act like men don't ask this question.
Hello?
No, that's a real question. That's a real question, but I don't even think that even applies to cover scene. That's just a real question. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that? Well, yeah, that's an issue though.
So, can you repeat it though?
Okay, so should a person in a new relationship situation question their partner, where is this all going? Or do they just go with the flow? I always figure whatever you were cool with is cool until you're not cool with it no more. If at some point in time you decide to go, you know what? I think I might genuinely like this person and want to be in a relationship with them. You should say something then. Don't wait till 3-4 months down the line and you like, oh, but he's my baby. And he like, yeah, you cool on Friday nights when I'm bored,
yeah,
but
thank you.
You ain't really popping for me Monday through Fridays until 5.
In public.
And definitely not in public. And you can't be my mama. Or my cousins and my uncles.
So, men, what do you all, when should somebody ask, where is it all going?
I mean, I kind of agree with you in the fact that it's like, when you feel it is when you should say it. I've never thought about like a particular time, like you have a certain amount of time, and you've been on this many dates or stuff like that. I'm kind of removed from that life anyway. But, I mean, when you feel it is when you should say it. And most of the time, the dude will kind of already know in his head, you know what I'm saying? He's been thinking about it. He ain't gonna be stalling.
True that.
I agree, Rafi. I'm sitting here thinking, like, have I ever participated in this season? I'm gonna say no.
You're just gonna say no.
For full disclosure, two speaking are attached, so there's no benefit for them to be totally and completely forthcoming.
Not me.
You are under your
I'm out here. I'm about to say, you know.
Sierra's available. We already just don't have a high standard.
I'm thinking, like, for me, couple season may have different dates. But, like I said, I agree with Raphael. You know, when you know, and like with Chaz, when you want to know, actually, that's when you had that conversation.
Yeah. The problem is, I think generally this question comes up in the midst of a conflict. That's the problem.
That's
with
that
it.
Question.
Nobody's going to initiate this question because.
But you know what? Something I noticed.
If you have to ask it, you almost kind of know the answer. Like,
thank you. Yeah. That's the real point.
So it only comes up generally in conflict. Like you arguing over something. Well, you know, I saw you, this guy, or you know, I saw this woman do this.
I saw this woman
like your photo and on Instagram. Where is this going? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it always comes up in generally in conflict, because I don't think nobody wants to. If you have to put it out there, I'm a firm believer. If I have to ask you, then I kind of already know. Like, we're not on the same page. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like it would have already been shown to me in some facet that we are at this
I level. Will say, I do think men stall. Because mm-hmm. I've had arguments with people. And in the midst of an argument, I don't even bring up where is this going. I just say, it's over. It's finished. I'm done.
Jesus.
Where's it going? Whatever it is.
Oh, and then it becomes, for the guy, it becomes, no. Right. But wait. Right. But wait.
So that was my question to the men in the room, because I've had a man give me this metaphor. Women, the issue is, when things get hot, we like to pour hot water on it. What? Like it's a plant. So if I have a plant, I'm going to pour cool water when it starts to grow. And then the cool water will settle things down, and then the plant will grow, and it'll be what you want it to be. But women like to burn it. Like, what's happening? Where you going? What you doing? And if you just totally step off, that's when they're like, wait, where you going? What you doing? Why are you going with it?
So you stop watering the plants so it dies?
No. You pour. No.
Sometimes you need to stop watering the plants.
You pour cool water. You cool, baby. What? Okay. Whatever.
That's different than saying it's over.
Yeah, no, it's not over. It's just.
Thank you. You speak
over. But that's how cool water. But no, that's how cool water, because you still get
what I want.
Right? I'm sorry, I'm so loud.
But this don't apply to anybody that might be listening.
That's manipulative. Wait a minute. So you throw in it's over to manipulate behavior.
No, it's not manipulation.
I'm just asking. I just need to understand. I know
no, it's not.
I already understand.
Cool water, hot water.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. He's an African. He understands.
My thing is, a man, and not all men, but some men, I should say, will give you every reason that they don't want to do something or they don't want to be with you. At some point, all you can do is say, that's fine. You don't want to do that?
Cool.
Let me remove myself from the picture because that's not what I want. And there are also those same men who will either, some of the men will of course be like, all right, that's cool. That's not what I want. That's not what you want. We good. However, there are also a specific lane of men who will initiate some action upon realizing that they could actually lose you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes real because everybody tends to think, especially when it comes to women have this like ride or die mentality. Where you can damn near do anything, and there will be some woman out there who will take it, who will be okay with it, just for the sake of having a man.
It's probably about 10 of them that will, girl.
There are several, right.
I actually kind of feel like, and I don't know if that size what I feel too, brother. I actually kind of feel like it goes both ways for both sides.
That's probably true, yeah.
Because I feel like it is probably, every man has felt like it's probably some woman that will take more than the other woman will, and we can probably find that woman. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like women do the exact same thing. And I always say it again, like, y'all have a lot of friends that you know. You know what I'm saying? Friends, I'm putting air quotes out here. Like, that you know that this man is going to sit here and do, but you're not looking at him for some reason. You know what I'm saying? But he's always in that back pocket. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's
friend-zoned, but not really friend-zoned.
Yeah, and so, like, that's the thing. Like, we can't put a lot of women in friend-zone as men. You know what I'm saying? We can't. But women,
but you know what y'all do?
Regularly.
Y'all put them in the hoe zone. She deal with straight up. She good for now, but she not good for wifing. And that's what y'all do. She had sex with three people. She a hoe. But I don't want to be with her.
But here's the thing is this, though. If that's the case, if you're honest with that person, and that's you just sitting there saying, like, this is just cuffing season October or whatever we doing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
if that's what your agreement that you have, like we just hang out and, you know what I'm saying, we watch Netflix and you go home, you know what I'm saying, and stuff or whatever, then that's fine. But I think for, and I'm just speaking from a men's side standpoint, not a lot of women I know, even if they agree to that, eventually, sooner or later down the line, something has changed. Like, they want to renegotiate this contract. You know what I'm saying?
My initial question. Do you tell them it's cuffing season then?
No, I don't.
No, you don't know.
I don't know.
There was a wave of
you gotta be fast this label. No, but like, I think, okay, I'm gonna ask the women.
Erica friends on a chick.
I'm sure that you have met a guy. You know what I'm saying? And whatever happens, some guys maybe attached a little bit more feelings to you than you have at the time. He probably wants to renegotiate too. Like, I don't necessarily want you to go network on Wednesdays anymore.
Let me tell you, I feel like men take rejection a lot worse than women do.
Oh, I definitely agree. Yep.
Because I've definitely had to have that conversation with, you know what, you're a great guy, but you're not for me.
So you just dropped.
What does that even mean?
She just dropped.
That means exactly what I just said. You are a great guy. You just aren't for me.
And you shouldn't persist.
Yeah. No, I felt like that was being honest. Be quiet.
Or you're creeping me out, dude.
Also that. And as Raphael knows, remember, is one of the guy who wrote the whole blog and then added all my friends on Twitter that time.
Is this
off
the air?
Yeah. I saw him yesterday, by the way.
Really? He was a wolf on this cat, man.
He worked
at CGW.
Men don't handle rejection.
I got to tell you.
I definitely agree, man. I think we handle it a lot worse than women do.
One of our listeners doesn't agree. He says women can't handle rejection from a man. We deal with it all the time.
Human beings cannot handle rejection because our emotions, especially if we don't know how to deal with our emotions, and we don't know, maturity is a whole other thing. So yeah, if you
called crazy.
What's his name, Eric?
Yep.
If you get a red flag, Eric, from a woman, and then you're like, she don't handle it, but I knew she was doing some crazy stuff before, and that's the issue with men and men having female friends. Let me go here for a minute. So you were talking about women, we got our friend, we got our cuff, right? The thing about men, because I was having this conversation yesterday, and I was talking to a man who has a lot of female friends, but he has a girlfriend. She doesn't quite understand, what is this? I'm like, okay, this is the thing. As a man, you need to understand and recognize when a woman throws up her crazy flag, you shouldn't have to go all the way up. You should go half mast, because that bitch is crazy. So what she will do is she will bring all of that to my house or my face or anything that's going to drive me crazy. And now I got to throw my crazy female flag up in the air. And then men are like, she crazy. I hate the drama. But I think men, deep down, y'all like the drama.
They do like the drama.
So I have to get rid of all my female friends to make you feel more comfortable.
No.
Even though I made a choice to be with you.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Let me be very perfectly clear. Because you know you have that one female friend that was like, you going out with your girlfriend today, or you do, she throws something at you that's a little crazy, but you're like, well, she still got a big
girl. But you correct her when she throws it out.
You drop her. Don't cover. The correction is, I gotta let you go because you're gonna do something crazier. And now I gotta blanket all women in the crazy field. And that's what men go wrong.
I think that's a big misconception that men like drama.
Thank you.
I think that's a very big misconception that men like drama. If anything, like, I don't even know any man who really loves drama.
I didn't say loves it.
No, or likes it. But I think at the end of the day is we, as men, do expect some type of drama. And you know what I'm saying? Period. Like you said, we expect you might meet the crazy man. We've met the crazy woman probably fivefold. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we expect it. It's not that we look for it, cause y'all make it look like we aggressively go out there and say, "Man, look how crazy this broad is." Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm on that. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't do
you
that.
Do. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think. But you know what I do think? I think that a pretty face, or a big ass, or big titties will over sight the crazy, because men are visual. oh man, but she got that fat ass. She was talking a little crazy, but that ass was fat. Y'all will look over a lot because you physically feel
something. But I feel like when once you've chosen someone to be your girl, I don't understand this sort of arbitrary insecurity that is in there. So, for example, and maybe this is my own personal piece, why do I have to get rid of all my, and I have female friends, and Avery, you may not quote me on air, but I have female friends, and I don't think you should have to get rid of all your female friends, because the idea is that if I wanted someone else,
I would be with someone else,
the same with you. So if I'm with you, what's the purpose of me getting rid of everybody else?
My question would be, aren't we all visual? That's the thing I hate when women, like women say, like, man, we're visual. Aren't we all visual? My personality doesn't show across the room. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm sitting there saying. Like, if we're in a club or wherever, at the end of the day, you're not sitting there saying, like, man, he looks like he knows algebra. None of this stuff really matters. You're looking at the visual part of me just as much as I might be looking at the visual part of you. I don't feel there's nothing wrong with it, but women always make it look like that's all we do. Like, man, look at her ass. Oh, yeah, well, we can tell she's dumb as rocks. Let's just go ahead and go over there because of the ass. Like, no, we are selective.
You know what? Next time we meet up, I would like for us to discuss, because I have this theory about how men make women crazy.
That's what I was going to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that there are certain situations that men put women in,
yes,
which ask for a fucking crazy response. Yeah. And we happen to be like, man,
and then crazy. Y'all be like,
like what?
But we can talk about that next week. But yes, everyone is visual, and women are all. So even after she's over all of that, if you saying the right thing, I don't want to speak for every woman in the room, but a genuine person that I'm attracted to, and you're saying the right things, that's gonna go farther than what you look like.
But I agree. But what I'm saying is this: men do this too. Like, I'm sure every man up in here has sat there, went over, approached the female visually, and then as soon as their mouth opened, we sit there and say, Jesus Christ, how do I get out of this? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I think women have a conception, like misconception, that we're just going to automatically state it because she's cute. But I've sat there and talked to a lot of women, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is the worst decision. I should have ordered a Sprite. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, instead. Like, you know what I'm saying? And just, like, so that's what I'm sitting there saying. I think it's a standard that you guys just automatically assume that we can't get past the physical part of it.
So will you take smart over pretty?
It's just all the time.
Really?
All the time. If I can't talk to you.
Do you think the majority of men would be in agreement with you?
I don't think it's
a primary. Or is there a difference between it being short and a long-term goal?
I'm sorry.
Well, if your idea as a human is, hey, I'm looking for somebody to lay, I don't care how smart they are. Right. That's not going to be your
But I don't feel criteria. Like that's gender specific. Like, I feel
right,
like
women go out. People.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just for clarification. But, you know, the show is 7:10 now. I'm going to let y'all go. I know. Aww. We need some audience
cues. I like
cues.
Being around Black excellence.
I feel like that was on a poster.
Somewhere.
Black excellence on the lounge. This is Chiggity, Chiggady on Twitter. And I'm going to let everybody sign off if they want to. Anybody want to start?
DMJ Basic, DMJ, BASIC, everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all the same.
Christian Mingle.
And for the record, I would be on a Christian Mingle if it was necessary.
Bye.
That was awesome. Raphael, next by Raphael, RAPHAEL on Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff.
Allegra Dolores at Facebook and Twitter.
Shells is winning. CHELLZ is winning on all social networks.
Kev Classic on all social networks as well.
Alright, thank you for tuning into the lounge again this week. Welcome to the new season. I think it went off pretty well.
Yeah. Woo! Cheers.
Y'all enjoy the rest of your
Strawberry
week. Mix. Lord, it's almost Monday. Have some taste. Whatever, we ain't gonna advertise this. Budweiser hit us up for some sponsoring. Or Starbucks.
Or whoever wants to pay us.
Anybody. Whoever bottles this water.
Yes.
Doritos, Cheetos.
You can pay us in beer and pizza.
Y'all hit us up. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week and thank you for tuning in. This is The Lounge signing out. Peace out.
You are now tuned into The Lounge on the Rockbox Radio. I knew what it really meant to have me somebody who's really there giving their all for me. Back in the day, I didn't know none. Before we was one, I learned on the run what it would take to keep our hearts happy. Straight to the end, can't let this chance pass me. Baby, we made mistakes, but I see just what it takes. The last thing I want us to make is steps that will take us far from our fate, girl. How can something so clear just push back something so near? Now I don't want to be cause of your tears, your worries, your fears, all disappear, baby. There's no need to worry.
There's no need to worry.
Just that I am ready,
baby.
Even when I'm away, my heart's
been right here. Right. Yeah.
Woulda just ran, but now here I stand. I'm making these plans. What's in a day if you're not my future? Why give these words if they do not move ya?